Hey guys, well, we are super excited to announce that we're on CastBox now.
CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, and it does have all your favorite podcasts, okay?
Okay, you can still listen to Dumb Gay Politics wherever you get your podcasts, but we just want you to try CastBox.
We literally hate every single other podcast provider, as you guys know, and especially the main one, and you know which one we're talking about. And we're super excited that we're finally on CastBox because we think it's the best. So try it.
Uh-huh, it's all shit, it's all just dumb gay politics. America's gotten kind of whack, but we're not gonna let it go down like that, because we got a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. We probably don't have all the facts, but we got opinions and we'll probably backtrack. That's why it's a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. Ooh, it's all shit, it's all shit. Ooh, it's all shit, it's all shit. I mean, are we gonna die? I don't know. You're extreme. I am extreme. It's all shit. This shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. This shit is Trumpanus. T-R-U-M-P-A-N-A-N-A-S. What? I don't know. I don't even know.
Hey everybody, welcome to Dumb Gay Politics. I'm Julie.
And I'm Brandy.
And this is the podcast where we recap the week in politics like we're recapping the week in reality TV.
And you know what this reality show is called?
What?
The Real Gay Housewives of Tokyo.
Oh my God. I mean, we're stuck in Tokyo.
We're basically like Ramona Singer and fucking Sonia Morgan.
Mayor?
Sonia Morgan Mayor. Drunk. Turtle timing around fucking Tokyo. Like, yeah. We're two horny housewives that are like, hey guys, woo, white Zinfandel, Chardonnay.
How do you say handsome?
Pinot.
Woo, yes, sake. I want to suck your sake.
We are in the most jankest fucking hotel of all time.
And yet, they would have you believe it's merely affordable luxury.
The phrase affordable luxury can go fucking suck a bag of dicks. I'm so done with it. That doesn't even exist.
Nope.
Luxury is not affordable.
No.
That's why it's luxurious.
Yeah, no, this isn't luxurious. This is...
And by the way, it's not affordable.
No, and I you think that it should be... This should be $25 a night, and it isn't.
I feel like we're in a hostel.
It is what it feels like, and that's the clientele.
At any moment, older. I feel like I could be robbed.
Yes.
We're in the smallest room known to mankind.
Uh-huh. It is very small. There's four channels on the TV.
You can't move without hitting your knee, hitting your elbow, hitting your head, hitting your hip.
Right.
Everything must be done from the bed. Everything has to be negotiated. Julie and I lay in the bed like mummies, and then I go, okay, you should get ready. I'm going to type on the computer.
Right.
Then when you're done getting ready, you can come lay down. I will then get up.
Right.
All to avoid
hitting
everything. Anything.
Yeah. The thing about it is also, it looks like it might be okay. And then as you start to spend time, it really reveals itself. For example, the TV. It's a nice big flat screen television. You turn it on, you see, oh my God, video on demand. Oh my God, there's all these things. Nope. It's four channels. And then the on demand, it's like Western movies. Terminator from 83.
Yep.
Mamma Mia.
And it costs $70.
Yeah.
I haven't even looked at the video on demand because I'm like, you can take my one spare yen and fuck off because I'm not going to spend it on Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No.
Now, if you want to listen to the story of why we are stranded in Tokyo, I'm done saying stuck in Tokyo because my friend Richard, my gay husband Richard, said I was humble bragging like, oh, girl, you're stuck in Tokyo. And I'm like,
oh.
So, we are stranded in Tokyo.
Yes.
It could be worse.
Of course, it could be worse. But if anything should happen after the date at which we are meant to leave now, we will be, it will be worse.
Well, we don't have the money to live in Tokyo like we're on the Barry Gibb Talk Show.
We absolutely do not.
We're in a hostel. We're getting robbed. We're getting raped. We're in robes and disposable shoes, and it's not cute. And so if you want to hear the story of why we're stranded, you can join our Patreon podcast, www.patreon.com/dumbgaypolitics.
That is right.
It's $1 per podcast. Yeah. They are 1 hour long. And we're going to tell the whole story. And basically, but we're here now. We're here for 9 more days. The hotel is so fucking jank that basically we're at this hotel. We stayed at a different version of this same hotel in Shinjuku, which is kind of like the Times Square, J-pop, crazy Vegas-y part of Tokyo.
Right.
We stayed at this hotel right in the heart of like the gaming tourist section, like crazy visuals. We couldn't believe it.
Yep.
The room is as big of an asshole, as big as an asshole. Yeah.
This one is more like a gaping asshole.
Right. A loose one.
Yeah.
But still tiny.
Yeah.
So in that hotel room, we said, it's 2 days. Let's just get into it.
Right.
We've got 50,000 bags. We're so dedicated to this podcast that we have microphone stands and microphones. So we basically have a suitcase full of gear.
Yes.
That's one whole suitcase dedicated to gear.
Right.
We can't even fit one suitcase in the room, much less two personal bags each and a suitcase dedicated to podcast gear.
You can't. Imagine the room. It's got suitcases, the gear, everything in it, the bed, this area. They have a table, sort of, that's attached to the wall. Anywhere you walk in the room, you have to maneuver your body. You can't face front. You can't ever just be walking forward, let's say.
Oh, God forbid you just walk.
You can't.
No, it's all plans, maneuvering. I have to text Julie. She says, I'll do it.
Right.
And we have to make a 13-hour plan to even do anything. So in the original hotel, when we finally got around to doing the podcast, we pulled out the fucking stands, we pulled out the mic, we pulled out all the gear, we got the gear set up. We pretty much had to pack. We packed all of our shit and put it in the hallway and said, okay, let's do the podcast.
Right.
There was nowhere to sit to make it work, so I sat on a suitcase stand. You know those things that you pull out and they have cloth in the middle? Is that how you would describe it, Mimeow?
Yeah, like it's a stand. It's like silver legs and you open it. It closes and then you open it and you're like, oh, I'm going to put my suitcase on that. I'm going to lift it up off the floor.
So it could almost be like a folding chair you'd use at the beach.
Right.
So that's where my brilliant idea came from. I said, I'm going to use this as a chair. And then Mimeow said, okay. So we used it. I was like, I'm feeling thrilled. I love when I can sit in someone's baby seat.
Mm-hmm.
Like someone's like, there's no room in the car. I only have my son's car seat. And I'm like, I can fit in the car seat. And then I do it. And then I ride the whole way to the club in a car seat. And I'm like, I love this. So that's how I felt.
Uh-huh.
I maneuvered my fucking corpsey moly ass right onto that thing. And we did it. Now we are at our same hotel, different location.
Yes.
Where the asshole's gaping.
The room's a little bigger, but not
a tiny bit.
Yeah.
They will not provide. I stole a suitcase stand from an open room.
Yeah.
With someone's belongings in it. I simply walked in. I removed the suitcase stand and I removed two hangers. And then I walked out and said, they probably videoed that, but they can see I don't have anything personal.
Mm-hmm.
I walked into our room, shut the door, and then we used the two suitcase stands.
Right.
We went to do the podcast. I said, oh, shit, I don't have a chair. Let me call on down. Nope. There's none available in the hotel. There's 12 floors. There's 12 floors.
Yeah.
Hundreds of rooms.
At least. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Nope. There's not an extra stand.
No stands available. No. Also, what's not available? Pillows. None available.
Lotion.
Nope. I just want to describe the pillows that are on the bed are... I know that some people like a thin pillow.
Or they might like a flatter pillow.
Yeah.
They don't want their neck cast at such an angle.
Right. These pillows are basically pillow cases.
Yes.
It's a pillow. Another pillow. It's just
a pillowcase. A pillowcase.
Yeah.
And we don't even understand how to work with that.
Nope.
Julie's holding up my clothes like this. Do you want to shove this in? Look at this. This is a big dress. You can ball this up and put it in there and lay your head on it.
Because
I'm like, I don't even know how to
About to put t-shirts in that pillowcase.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we are. We're going to put dirty towels and dirty underwear. I'm going to use my dirty clothes as the pillowcase, as a pillow.
Seriously.
Because we called down and Julie's like, I'm going to call them. And I go, if they aren't going to give you a suitcase stand for me to simply sit on.
Uh-huh.
They certainly aren't going to give us any more pillows.
No.
she said, oh, let me check. And we were like, this is hilarious. And then 1 second later, we don't have any left. It's like, you don't have any pillows left.
Uh-huh.
What if someone sharts on a pillow? What will you do?
Right. What will you do?
You have a storeroom and a store closet, a storage closet filled with pillows.
And you know you do. You have towels. And I know you'll take a shart towel.
Oh, you will wash it and hand it right back to me and I'll use it on my face.
Uh-huh. I'm probably using the towel I actually got shit on and I'm probably using it now.
Because you did shit on a towel. And we talked about that on the Patreon too, guys. Mm-hmm. Because Julie shit on a towel in Tokyo and then we shoved it into the maid's like bin.
Yeah, in the area. Where shit towels go?
All of the towels are shit towels, guys. We're kidding ourselves if we think there aren't.
You're absolutely
when
right.
When I turn on the TV and the only thing to watch is Asian porn, I'm like, this remote is covered in jizz. And
for
I
sure
need a better pillow.
Yes.
I will fucking eat, sleep, and drink jizz all day. Just give me a pillow. We're sleeping on a cotton gauze that you use on a wound.
That's right.
Someone went into a first aid kit, removed the cotton gauze, and said, here's your pillow.
It's a cotton gauze with a pillowcase on it. That is what it is. That's exactly what it is. Exactly.
And I don't care. And believe you me, we've tried. You can roll that motherfucker up. You can ball it up. You can roll it up. You can fold it into a triangle. You can do it into a pentagon. It will not make a big enough mound to lay your fucking head on. I could put my head on Julie's pussy and it would be more propped up.
And way cushionier. That's for sure.
It'd be so cushiony.
You could use any fat part of my body.
It would be so high. I'd be like, my neck is it's too high. Can we take a layer down?
Oh my God.
Take a level down.
Yeah. Like, sorry. It's just like this pillow, the pillows that I'm working with.
If we could take your titties off and use it as how comfy. The bed, by the way, it's not even bad. But the thing is, no. When you get in it, you go, and then you lay back down and you're like, wait, what am I laying flat? Am I in a coffin?
I mean, but then your head goes even further back.
No, you're almost negative.
Yeah,
you're
negative.
Into the hole
exactly.
Of the bed.
Ugh.
It is so fucking jank. I can't even tell you guys. And not only that, we're stranded here. So we overpacked but underpacked. So that means we don't have. Did you just laugh because I threw up the beer out of my mouth?
No, but did you want to tell that story?
Well, I looked at you and I saw you laugh and I go, she's remembering when I vomited beer out of my mouth. I burped and a full foam cascade waterfall poured out of the top of my mouth like I was foaming at the mouth. And then I just had to just pretend I was like a dog that was foaming at the mouth in like a Jim Carrey movie.
I also couldn't get to the bathroom fast enough because there was so much stuff in the way.
She was like, hold on.
Wait.
And it's foam pouring. And she's
like, you're not helping.
I didn't
get to it fast enough.
One burp and 14 Asahis projectiles out of my mouth and a foam. So basically, we overpacked and underpacked, so we don't have anything we need. It's raining. We don't have jackets. We had to do our laundry here. And if you don't think doing your fucking laundry in a hotel room is disgusting, demoralizing, creepy, bizarre, there's Hell's Angels who are up to no good.
No.
There is no Hell's Angels, let's go to Tokyo tourism group.
Mm.
They're here to sex traffic. And apparently do their laundry. And that's what they're doing. And we're down there just like sharing. We don't even care. We're like, I don't care how many 12-year-olds you have in your room, but can we use some of your dryer time? Because we're out of yen.
He was like, go on, yeah, go ahead. 15 minutes left. Jeans are done. I'm like, oh, okay.
A ginger fucking Hell's Angel. And there's more than one.
Yeah.
There's a spa, hot tub, bathing, bathhouse at the bottom of the hotel to make matters
worse.
They give you disposable fucking slippers and robes. And so Julie and I are like, the first thing I did was roll the space heater and all the slippers and the robes right the fuck out the door like it's Poltergeist. I'm like, you can take this and go because we don't have enough room. And I'm like, I don't care how bad I need to steam, I'm not getting involved. But you know what we did need to do our laundry, in which case we had to see every dreg.
Oh, going down there. I mean, the thing about it is, it's not like you can sit in the whirlpool with your underwear on. You're not allowed to wear clothes in there.
Well, we checked because it said bathing suit X.
Nope.
Robe X.
Nope.
T-shirt X.
Nope.
And Julie's like, what? We have to be naked? And I'm like, I guess. I was like, maybe we could come down here and we could each turn our faces away from each other and we could do it on like an off time. And there was no one in there when we checked.
Yeah.
And then come 9 o'clock,
packed. all milling around outside the doors with their robes on, trying to figure out. And it's couples. It's men and women. And they're like, well, I guess I'm going to go here and you're going to go there. It's like, what do you think you're going to do? Go in there together? Nobody wants you when they're naked together.
And by the way, go upstairs. You're in a robe.
Go in your tub.
And then they want to go do laundry, too. And I'm like, people who do laundry in hotels are disgusting. And they're like, but you're doing it. I'm like, agreed. We're hideous. I walk by our room and I go, what disgusting person lives in there? And then I go, oh, I do. Like, we're the kind of people who live in hotels now. I don't know if we're hookers. I don't know if we're in the Florida Project. I know when we went with Johnny and we did this gayest of all time, like, podcast weekend, there was this weird man who lived in the hotel and he had all boxes and he was like a pack rat and he lived there. And then me and Julie added it up and it was like, well, he pays $25 a night or $20 a night. And we added it all up of how it works.
Yeah.
Because $20 a night times 30, that's a lot. So maybe it's $20 a week.
No, it's not $20 a week.
Okay, maybe it's $10 a night. No, that's still expensive.
Even if it's $300 a week. I mean, 3 times 4 is $1,200.
Okay, but that's still the normal price of rent in the trash box, Florida.
Or maybe let's say 100 a week.
It's $100 a week. So we've turned into those people who live in the hostel permanently and have too much shit and haven't gotten rid of it. Jacques and I'm going to vomit the foam again.
Like,
it's beyond.
It's so good. I mean, you know, it's an adventure you could never, ever imagine, fathom, pay for.
We don't have jackets. It's raining in Tokyo. It's not like it's freezing, but it is. It was 55 at one point. Julie's got a jean jacket on and she's got like a towel from the hotel wrapped around her head, like trying to keep warm. I'm like, what are we doing? We're not prepared for this.
We don't have
Q-tips. We spent $9,000 at the fucking Japanese store. Like,
we're spending all of our money. I've already spent all my money. This isn't even a movie.
It's beyond. Yeah. And then I got to see motherfuckers trying to go to the spa and I'm like, fuck your spa. Those slippers look dumb.
We
took someone's sock and then we threw it in the elevator and we just threw it. The elevator doors opened and I just threw the sock out of it and said, good luck to you.
Yep. And that person's like, oh, I need that sock to get to Antwerp. I need the sock. What am I going to do?
Let's get to Eye of the Shitstorm.
You take some shit, put it up on the wall, check it out for a while. You take that shit up off of the wall, put it down on the floor in a glass bowl. You take some fuck, put it up on the wall where the shit used to be.
This week, the Eye of the Shitstorm is that we are stuck in fucking Japan. We want to be out drunk shopping and playing with Japanese owls and meerkats, but instead, we're inside our tiny hotel room working on this podcast.
There's no fucking news happening, and thank God, because we don't get any news channels anyways, except for BBC, and it's overdubbed with Japanese. So all we get out of our BBC channel is Julie narrating the British news lady reporters and basically what you do is you make the ladies discuss their own outfit. So even if they could be in front of like an Afghanistan war.
Yeah, because they're being dubbed by Japanese.
Right.
But we know that they're British and they're standing out inside in front of, let's say, all Japanese people. And she's just like, thank you, Gloria. I'm out here on the street. Oh, I've been chilled all day. I don't know what I'm going to eat when I get back to the hotel, but I have been thinking about the noodle plate I saw. Number 9, I think that's what it was. Here we are. Oh, the people outside, they're having a wonderful time. I am bloated. I'm not sure what it's from, but I know that I am gassy and that I need to find some sort of tum. I don't know if they have it in this country.
Remember when you were talking about her pin? First of all, British reporters don't get face work.
No.
We see Brits who love a face work. They love to bleach their hair blonde. They love to put on a thick lash like Caroline Stansberry. Was it Caroline Stansberry or was it a different Caroline? Because there was two Carolines. Remember how there was the one that was the model and then there was the one that was blonde?
I don't remember the one's blonde's last name.
Well, it was Caroline. And then Sophie. Oh, it was Caroline Stansberry. So they will do a face work.
Yes.
They will do a tan.
Yeah.
They're British. They'll do a veneer.
Right.
What we've discovered here on the BBC is that intellectuals, if they want to be taken seriously, they do not get veneers.
No.
And
absolutely
they,
not.
They don't get a tan.
They go, my teeth are rocks and also chipped. I look like I bashed my head into the side of a mountain. And that is what make, and really what it is that I've been reading and reading and reading. I'm tired from reading. My face, it's in a book. It's smashed in the book. It's smashed apart. And that's how it has to look.
They get respect.
In order to be a journalist.
Right. They're real journalists.
Yes.
They keep
yes.
their hair a dull. Yeah. It's dull.
An angular. Yeah. It's an angle. It's at an angle. It's angular. I stand outside. I wear a sensible, a woman's coiffure. That's not the right word. A woman's, like a...
wedge, a pin, a blazer.
Yes, a blazer, a chemise. I wear a thing, something with a collar.
I can tell you part of the jaw and their bite, part of their bite goes way high up into the gum.
Mm.
And then the other side way down.
Ah, yes.
And then it's giving you a curvature and a thin lip.
That's part of the draw of being a smart intellectual.
They are.
Yes.
They are.
Yes.
They're not a flitty, like a sexual Andione type.
No, no, absolutely not. We have no sexuality.
They're not sexy.
We're doing the news, and I've chosen a pin to wear on my lapel so that you may see that I'm not trying too much, but I'm judging it, but with an intellectual flair, you see.
They are rough. They're keeping it real. They're keeping it real, and it's nice to see, because you know what? The British guys keep it real.
That's true.
And if they don't, they have hair plugs and veneers, and it's weird.
Right.
So these women, it's the way they get respect. The, you know, the reporters in America, literally they get with Jeff Bezos. Lauren Sanchez was a reporter.
Uh-huh.
They have every fake lash known to mankind right. on their motherfucking face. So it's been refreshing. So there's no shitstorm. The shitstorm's our life. The shitstorm's this room. Yeah. The shitstorm's the TV. All we can do is hold on to Brits reporting.
Brits reporting, eating. We're just have to surrender to getting fat, spending all of our money, and hoping that we can go home.
So Joe Biden finally announced on Thursday that he was officially going to run for president. That is what we're going to hang our hat on right motherfucking now.
Now,
okay?
Yes.
So even though the road to the announcement was rocky and thirst buckety as fuck, he officially started his campaign with a statement about Trump's like evident racism in regards to that whole like Charlottesville thing.
Oh, right. That there's fine people on both sides.
Right. Where Trump was like apathetic about like the white nationalists and was like, there's fine. Everyone has a right to their opinion and there's good people on both sides. So Joe Biden and his team are so next level and so strategic. Like the strategery is through the roof with Biden. Like at this point, the shitstorm of the week for Meow Meow and Me is that is Joe Biden going to be the I think Joe Biden might either be president or he'll be the nominee, I feel.
Joe Biden will?
Yeah, I'm telling you, coming out the gate with his team saying he literally his whole statement was that he knew he needed to run when he saw Trump's like racism with Charlottesville.
Right.
It was such a fucking stroke of genius. It was basically like a love letter to all the Obama voters who stayed home.
Right.
There's plenty of Obama voters like myself, like you, who did not stay home. But there's a lot of people who loved Obama that were not motivated to vote in 2016. They didn't vote for Hillary. They didn't vote for Trump. They didn't vote for anyone. They stayed home.
Right.
Joe Biden basically wrote them a handwritten note that said, come on out and vote for me in 2020. And they're like this. Okay. That sounds good. Because Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Beto, fucking Buttigieg,
yes.
None of them have said that Charlottesville racist bullshit ain't gonna fly. And Joe Biden is the one who said it.
Right. Now, people, certainly Kamala Harris, and they're all talking about diversity and whatever.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a conversation, but they're not.
They didn't pinpoint the thing. Then he came right out and he said that, and that was his team or his marketers or whatever really.
If you guys have watched, and some of you, no one has, but if you watch the Brexit doc movie with Julie's boyfriend.
Oh, with Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Mm-hmm.
That movie shows you how they put together like a crack team of fucking CSI, the stupid bitch with the bangs and the glasses from NCIS. They have every type, you know, of on the team, and they all get together and they form a, basically a think tank of people who figure out how to market perfectly
right.
to every. And I can tell that Joe Biden has the budget. He has the means, right. the ways. The oversight, the committee, the Congress, the every fucking thing you
it.
Can have
yep.
in order to get this team. And they have laser-like focus on how to get these voters to vote. And I'm impressed. I'm not mad at Joe Biden. I just feel like here in Tokyo, having our Tokyo moment, I just was like, okay, you know, like, we can't lose. At this point, I'm trying to let the universe guide us where it will, and I know like we can't lose. If it's Bernie Sanders, if it's Elizabeth Warren, if it's Kamala Harris, if it's Beto, if it's Pete Buttigieg, if it's Biden, we can't lose. You know what I mean? The only way we lose is if it's Trump again.
That's true.
And the thing with Joe Biden is everyone thinks he's the only one who for sure can beat Trump.
And what's so funny is that if people really didn't want Trump, or if people really believed that, like, you know, anyone would be better than Trump or even a Democrat, or let's take back the House and the Senate and get everything back and have Democrats, blah, 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 blah. It wouldn't matter because all of these candidates, any one of them would be OK. So the fact that people even think that one of them wouldn't be OK is so still very disappointing. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, the thing is, the only reason they're not OK is because they think that they can't beat Trump. All they care about. They're like this. Nacho. Julie's dog, Nacho. No, Nacho bugs, okay? He's neurotic. He can be too needy. He goes on the coffee table. He's a full-grown dog, and yep. he goes on the coffee table. Yep. He takes his long nails. Yep. He fucking hurls himself on the coffee table. It's upsetting. It's alarming.
Yeah.
Things fall off. The minute we walk out the door, if we walk back in because we've forgotten our keys, that bitch is on the coffee table. It's like, you motherfucker, yep. what are you fucking scavenging for crumbs?
Yes.
They're like this. Can he beat Trump?
Right.
They'll take him. Talons and all, as long as he can beat Trump. They do not care about policy.
No, and I get it.
That bugs. Sucks.
Of course. It sucks. And what is even more upsetting is the fact that you couldn't get a Dorito to run against Trump. The fact that I couldn't, that you're, the beer that you spit up, let's say.
When I foamed out?
Yeah, when you foamed out. If that foam could be put into a cup and then put a slogan on it, and it's like foaming for the people or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it could have. It was
Brandy Howard, foaming for the people, 2020.
A huge cup.
That foam should be able to beat Trump. Do you know what I'm saying?
And also, we shouldn't be picking candidates based on that. And I know that sounds stupid and idealistic and whatever, but I'm just kind of like, at this point, I want to go for who I love. And I don't want to. It's exactly like when I was shamed because I voted for Obama in the primaries in 2008 and I didn't vote for Hillary. And it was like, this is your chance to vote for a woman. I was like, yeah, but I just got to vote for who I like. And I'll be that dick that throws my vote away because I'll want to vote with my heart. And I believe that's what people should do. And I don't think that we should. And I don't have anything against Joe Biden, not one single thing. But I am so drunk and high and talk about scavenging on the coffee table for drugs. That's what I'm doing. I'm at this point like, Trump, so Biden got in the race on Thursday. Trump tweeted about Biden 5 times on Monday. There's a whole thing with the RNC, the Republican National Committee, where it's like this. They have strongly, vehemently, directly, and specifically discouraged Trump from tweeting about any candidate. They have told the entire Trump administration, do not let him name a candidate by name. Do not let him do Sleepy Joe. Let him do fucking Nance Pelosi. Let him do fucking Crying Chuck or whatever.
Uh-huh.
All of it. Don't let him talk about the candidates. First thing he did, Joe Biden, 5 times. I'm like this. This is a conspiracy because that's how I'm on the coffee table scavenging for drugs. I've gone off the deep end. I'm alone in Tokyo with you, but it's kind of like being alone because I'm scavenging for drugs and I'm drunk and foaming at the mouth. Uh-huh. Foaming at the mouth. 1 minute before this started, I foamed at the actual mouth. So, and I think they want to be Joe Biden because he's what's it called when your party's an establishment guy?
Right.
He's going to go with the thing.
Right.
He's in with the Republicans. They're going to all make glad handy backdoor deals. And Anne, don't cry. I like Joe Biden. I do. I don't think this is a bad guy. I don't.
No.
What I think is that he's a status quo dude.
Yeah.
And I think that they're all, everybody, Nancy Pelosi and all the Democrats that are establishment people. Nancy Pelosi is establishment. I think she's getting with the rest of them and they're like this. Let's just get a politician back in the office.
Yeah.
Let's take back control as far as let's all together collectively get a politician in. And then from there, we can all vote with our hearts. I don't want that. I'm like, they already got to disrupt the system with their dude. Let's disrupt the system with our person.
Right.
If we have to do more Trump, we'll do more Trump. We'll just keep balls to the wall. That's what I want. Balls to the fucking wall.
Well, maybe this will be balls to the wall and Joe Biden will not be the. I mean, what if it's Bernie?
Good.
He's winning.
He is not.
He's not.
He is getting moated to the floor. Here's what's crazy. So CNN came out with this poll. This CNN poll has blown the doors off between Trump tweeting five times. So Trump's tweet said, the media fake news is pushing Sleepy Joe hard. Funny. I'm only here because of Biden and Obama. They didn't do the job. And now you have Trump who is getting it done big time.
Ooh.
That was just one of the five tweets. So this Joe Biden's team was through the roof when he tweeted that. And then he did four more tweets. They were like,
whoa,
it's on all the email. Like he's marketing for him. He's marketing for him directly. Then the CNN poll comes out.
Oh my God.
CNN polled Democrats and like swing voters, people who go or independents.
Yeah.
In that poll, Biden was 24 points of Bernie Sanders ahead of Bernie Sanders. He blazed ahead. Like no one could believe Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren did a big surge, which is a really big deal.
That's good.
But 24 points, unheard of. Bernie Sanders has never performed like that. In the CNN poll, it said he has 100% name recognition.
Wow.
To have the kind of numbers he has with 100% name recognition, like more people know who Bernie Sanders is than know who Joe Biden is. I swear to God.
I believe that. I absolutely believe that because Bernie Sanders' name is almost like Michael Jackson at this point.
Yes, it is.
He really is just like, and every kid knows who he is and every millennial knows who,
that's right,
who he is. And
so the fact that he's polling the way he's polling when everyone knows who he is isn't good. And he's definitely concerned. And Joe Biden's like, fuck you, Twitter. Democrats on Twitter don't define me.
Yeah.
You don't shame me. Mm-hmm. And that's what the CNN poll said. It said it was all these questions about like, is this the Democratic Party? Is this the Democratic Party name recognition? Blah, blah, blah. It was all this. And it gave an overview of the whole scene. And Joe Biden was so clearly and so like evidently in front. And Bernie Sanders had fallen. So it's a big deal. And it really made me, and I mean, like, again, I'm unstable, but it really made me go, you know what? Like, it's looking like it's Joe Biden. And it's looking like people want it because people want. The pendulum swings, and right now it's way in some strange anarchy direction.
Yeah. Well, I like Joe Biden. I've always have. And don't worry. And we all love him. And he will, if he does, and if he can beat Trump, then great. That's awesome. So the question would be, who would his VP be?
Yeah, that's where it's got to go. But I mean, it ain't going to be Elizabeth Warren, and that's my boo.
Why?
Now, Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden have a rivalry that goes back for like two decades.
Man.
So just a real quick about Biden. He's now his team is so good. He's now taking responsibility for Anita Hill. There was a sexual harassment trial in 1991 for Anita Hill with Clarence Thomas, who they were putting on the Supreme Court. Right.
Yeah. And he. Yep.
Biden was the head of the committee. Mm. I guess he just treated her like shit.
Well,
the stuff that I've seen shows that he did believe her. He just allowed her to be,
like
verbally raped and assaulted. Kind of, I felt.
Well, he didn't protect her. He didn't go into that hearing like, look, we believe you, but we have to do this. But it was more like,
right,
we're white guys, you're a black lady, the Supreme Court, sorry, so,
and
you know what I mean?
We're 900 men piling on to one woman and shaming.
Yeah.
So she doesn't accept his apology. She's like, I don't accept his apology. She said it. He, however, who's always been like, I wish it wasn't like that. That was the times. I wish it wasn't like that. He said that a million times. I wish it wasn't like that. He has now said, he went on Good Morning America and said, quote, I believed her from the very beginning, but I was the chairman. She did not get a fair hearing. She did not get treated well. And that was my responsibility. As the committee chairman, I take responsibility that she did not get treated well. I take responsibility for that.
I mean, all right. And she did not get treated well. And you need, that's good that you're taking responsibility. But, you know, she was publicly shamed, embarrassed, not believed. And now Clarence Thomas is a Supreme Court judge. So really,
where
what
are
you
we
need
at
to
here?
Be doing, so where are we at is yeah. when you become president, what you should be doing is going, when I become president, I'm kicking him off the Supreme
yeah.
Court.
And that's what we're going to have a guy on the podcast who said that. You know, so but this is a big step. They feel this is a big step, him taking responsibility at all. So now when it comes to Elizabeth Warren, they've had this feud going back two decades. I know people that listen to this don't love Elizabeth Warren like I do. So I'm just putting it out there. I understand it can be obnoxious and off-putting for people. People like Bernie, people like Kamala, people like Pete Buttigieg, whoever you like, whatever. I like Elizabeth. I always have. So she went against him. She wasn't in the Senate. She was on a bipartisan committee protecting consumers against bankruptcy.
Right.
For all we know, Elizabeth Warren was Republican. Like, we don't know.
We don't know.
What her political affiliation was. Her loyalty lied to people in America who were struggling financially.
Right.
And who were taken advantage of by the healthcare system, by big banks, and by their own employers. People like Enron, who lost their entire pensions. Elizabeth Warren was fighting in the Senate for people who worked for Enron. You guys, people, if anyone who's listening to this that's like young, and I don't know shit about fucking any of this, history, politics, nothing, but I know there are people's who spent their life working for Enron who lost their entire retirement. They had 50 grand, 100 grand, 150, 200 grand that they were going to use to get elder abuse in their fucking retirement homes. Uh-huh. And they lost all of it and they never got it back. Nope. And no one went to jail. No one.
Nope. But then the CEOs and stuff and those guys who ran Enron got all the money.
That's right. They stole all the money and they never went to jail. And no one who lost their pension got their money back. Mm. So Elizabeth Warren went to fight on Capitol Hill. One of her main fights was with Joe Biden. And it's coming back around.
Yeah.
And here's what she said. This is what she said like last week. Our disagreement is a matter of public record. When the biggest financial institutions in this country were trying to put the squeeze on millions of hardworking families who were in bankruptcy because of medical problems, job issues, job losses, divorce, and death in their families, there was nobody to stand up for them. I got in that fight because they just didn't have anyone. And Joe Biden, he was on the side of the credit card companies. It is a matter of public record. Julie and I read the whole transcript, yeah. And we were living hunties.
I mean, I'll tell you that after hearing her speak like that, I was like, oh, she could be president.
And she wasn't even a senator.
Nothing. She was a professor.
He's like this. What are you talking about? And she's like, are you talking to me? Are you speaking to me? Oh, I'm sorry. It was all of this shit about Delaware. Anne, who reads books in 2 days. She's from Delaware. Joe Biden is a senator from Delaware. They were fucking having a full fight about Delaware courts and bankruptcy. And Julie and I were writhing around on the goddamn bed. We have 2 inches to move in this room. And it was the moment of living. Oh. That bitch was fucking handing him his ass. And at the end of the whole thing, and this is in like 2008, he's like this, you're good, professor. You're good. And we were like, oh,
yeah,
God, get together.
I'm seriously like, and she... And he likes a teacher because his wife's a teacher. You know what I mean? You know he was very turned on.
Obama was going to have Elizabeth Warren head that commission. And we feel like maybe it was Biden that didn't want her to head the commission. She became a senator and everything happened as it should. And maybe their chemistry is there. Maybe she will be VP. But right now they're fighting. I hope. I mean, I don't know. I want everything to turn out right. But I am going to vote with my heart. I'm not just going to vote, well, who can beat Donald Trump? I'm not.
Right.
In the primaries, I'm going to vote with my heart. And I hope everyone does.
And they should.
And that's how justice will be served.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Let's now get away from talking about our future President Biden and have Julie put on her professor cap and take me to SKU.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom.
Now it's time for Brandy and I to ride our tiny bicicleta to SKU.
Yep, but this time when we get to SKU, you're going to go to the front of the class and be the teacher, and I'm going to sit at my desk and try and learn something while constantly interrupting you. And hopefully our 14 listeners learn something too, because your lesson plan today is all about the reason we are fucking stuck in Japan for the next 9 days.
Yes. Ironically, the biggest news happening globally, besides possibly the shit going down in Venezuela, is happening right here in Tokyo today. So when Brandy and I missed our flight because we couldn't stop playing with meerkats and monkeys, it wasn't a matter of simply hopping on the next flight out of Tokyo. All of the flights were booked because for the first time in 200 years, the Emperor of Japan is giving up his throne.
I'm going to lay down for my lesson plan.
Okay.
Do you think my voice sounds different while I lay down?
No, it doesn't,
okay,
actually.
Good.
So we didn't really, I'm not an aficionado of Japan. I don't, you know that much, but I did.
But you are a fan.
I'm a huge fan. We're here. We realize this was going on. We find out we can't get on a flight unless we want to pay $1,700 each, which we couldn't do. And
no,
and it was just like, maybe you'll get that seat, maybe you won't, whole thing, whatever, we'll get into that later.
But
now,
you kept saying it's their golden week. I'm like, golden week. Does this happen every year? Are we going into a 4th of July situation? We didn't know.
No, but it was also gay pride as well. So not only is the emperor abdicating the throne, it was also gay pride. It was basically one of the busiest weeks that Japan has had in like a million years. So we're here. Can't get on a flight. Now we're stuck here for 8 days because that's not the next flight out. Okay, fine. Well, and then we're like, what is all this? What's going on? Turns out Japan has an emperor. That's the first thing. They've had emperors. That's the lineage of Japan. The history of Japan is that they have been ruled by an emperor. They have an empress and they have an emperor.
But the emperor rules because they never let the lady rule.
No, the emperor rules. The empress is, you know, like the first lady, but she doesn't really necessarily have a job. You know what I mean? But at least in olden days. But now, of course, and also in olden days, he would have had 5,000 women around. You know what I mean?
Correct.
Right. So, What had happened was, for the first time in 200 years, this emperor willingly gave up the throne. He didn't die. He didn't.
It was like they're calling it like not only abdication, whatever they're saying, ascension. Like it's the first time like the ascension of an emperor because
he didn't. So if he had. So what normally would happen is the emperor would die and his heir would ascend to the throne.
Oh, ascend.
So here now,
it's like a willing ascension or something.
It's your duty. Your duty is going to be to, not only is it your duty, it wouldn't be like, you know, I don't know if in the British monarchy, let's say Prince Charles would be like, you know what? I just don't want to do it. So,
and think how crazy
let someone else
that
do
would
it.
Be if he did.
Yeah.
That'd be fucking crazy.
That would probably be, what?
It's a scab.
Yeah. That would probably be historical too, if somebody was like, no thanks. But for an emperor, now most monarchy, you know, the whole thing is that they are ordained by God. It's like, that's the whole thing with monarchy. And that's why they've been able to rule for so long and why they kept their power for so long, because they made people believe that their power was given to them by God.
It's not true.
So
at all.
Right.
It's literally like as if Paris Hilton was like, my hotel legacy was ordained by God. And it's like, no.
Exactly.
Your fucking great, 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 great grandfather was wily and smart. And that's about it, sir.
Right. Now, in Japan, we'd have emperors. The emperors during the last couple thousand years, they've gone and they've had the samurais were in charge. Then you got the emperors again, and you have this whole, it's gone up and down and blah, blah, blah. And Japan is like kind of very exciting and pretty violent history.
They're very hardcore.
Very hardcore.
And we love that about them. They're hardcore, yet polite.
Yes. And they... Okay, so
they're a quiet hardcore.
They're a quiet hardcore. So from what I've read now, this particular emperor, so his father died, he became the emperor.
Is it like Akihito? What's his name?
Yes,
it's Emperor. I like to say Akito, but I don't think it's Akito.
It might
be Akihito. I think it's Akihito.
So his father, he became emperor in like 89. His dad basically is the reason why we Pearl Harbor got bombed and like
that's
all that
fucked up.
So
we
that guy
Japanese
was in charge of
internment camps. Hiroshima. How do you say it
exactly?
Do you say Hiroshima or
Hiroshima?
Okay,
I think, yeah, I mean that's how I say it.
Like, we just straight up nuked those motherfuckers. Like, you cannot. Then we took all the Japanese people in America and we threw them in internment camps.
Well, the thing about that time was that you had Hitler doing what he was doing, and Japan for many, many, many years was kind of, they were also trying to like take over Asia. So not to get too deep into it, but Japan, you know, had a pretty brutal taking of over of different peoples, and to the point where they got super, super, super cocky and went in and bombed Pearl Harbor. And America was like,
that's not how we do that, homie.
So. And then fucked them up. And then
like people were like bleeding from their eyes.
Oh,
like,
I mean, that's nuclear.
On,
I mean, insane. So then America went in. I think they went in. They made a treaty. And in the treaty, they stripped the power away from the monarchy, the power, the money, everything. And that is when the country really kind of became more of like a democracy.
OK, well,
so they. The emperor and the monarchy now are symbols and like symbolic, and you have a prime minister and you have all of that stuff. And it's sort of ever since then, they've sort of been mellowed out. Let's say that. So this emperor then becomes, this guy becomes emperor.
When did the guy that's there now, did his dad die?
In 89. And he became the emperor.
Okay.
He, this guy, Akihito, apparently is like a gentle humanitarian. And
well, we saw him sit down with the people after the earthquake, and you did have to start crying.
I did. So I'm watching videos of this emperor. Also, they're also really like attractive, and he and his wife,
full head of hair, beautiful,
and
people.
The wife is gorgeous, and he's adorable and tiny. And you know, the thing is, like, these, it's just like when you think of the Queen of England. It's like, if you think of the Queen of England, maybe, okay, she sends Princess Diana out, or she'll maybe go out and
see.
Well,
the whole thing with Princess Di, and what's funny is that Princess Di was, like, kind of cunty at the end of the day. That's what we've all found out. We don't care. We're like, go with Elton John, blow lines, and live. However, my mom could not deal with Princess Diana and how kind she seemed. She's like Melania with the kids.
Right.
She would go out amongst these, like, poor people and really people who had been through hardships, and she seemed so sweet and kind, mm-hmm. and it would like tug the heartstrings, because the Queen of England does seem very removed, like,
yes.
She does not seem like she's connecting, and like Princess Di was not rich, you know what I mean,
she was a commoner,
right, And she would go out, and even though she was the cunty Elton John fucking Liv, she had that quality where she wasn't, she was approachable in that way, and she could be down to earth in that way. She was a bitch to the royals, is who she was a bitch to.
Yeah, because she couldn't stand them, I guess.
No, she couldn't fucking stand it.
She wanted her own life, and she wanted to deal with them.
And
she wanted to go.
She fucked that soldier and had her ginger son.
Yeah, and she wanted.
The second one.
Exactly, and Harry, and she wanted to go save kids from landmines and
right.
and do something
and that's
in the world.
What got you. It was the Princess Di, his Princess Di moment. He came into the thing.
So he and
got
his wife,
on his knees.
Well, yeah.
And Julie started crying her fucking eyes out over this man on his knees.
First of all, Japanese people, just the way that they're greeted, they bow, and then there's a whole thing where they sit, they can sit on their knees, and there is a polite
thing. Humility. It's humble.
It's being, yeah, there's a constant feeling that you are humbling yourself in some way at some point to someone else for a moment even. So this is the emperor, and the emperor and his wife, or the empress.
And no one prior, according to this video, had ever.
So he, and that's why it got me, because there they were. It's in the 80s, or no, this is 2011. This is 2011 when the huge earthquake hit Japan. It killed thousands of people, thousands and thousands of people. There was a tsunami. It devastated like the coast of Japan.
Me, you were on the phone. Remember I told you I was standing in front of my TV in my bedroom, and I was like, oh, this earthquake, this is fucked up. And Julie's like, I'm so scared of earthquakes. That's so scary. I was like, earthquakes aren't even scary. It's all about tsunamis. And while we're on the phone, I say that the tsunami comes and takes it over.
Right.
While we're on the phone.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God, that and the devastation and the death and the destruction. I mean, just absolutely outrageous.
Outrageous. So now, okay, now it comes. It leaves the, now we're in the devastation. The emperor and the empress go all over to where people had been in shelters and wherever.
They were kind of in like a big tent like we have in America. Like a stadium where they had.
It was a school. It was a school.
Where they had people who had nowhere to go.
Nowhere to go.
They were totally injured. Like
people
with who had been dismembered. Mm-hmm. People were. It was like a war, what these people were dealing with.
Yes. So he and the wife go in, and he just starts bowing to people. He gets on his knees and he gets down and he bows and he just starts talking to people. And I cried my eyes out.
Yeah, because the woman's like, I never would have felt. I felt so hopeless. I couldn't heal. I had nothing left. Right. I'd lost my entire family.
Right.
Her leg was missing. She's laying there, and she was the first person he bowed to,
mm-hmm.
and he bowed down, or he didn't bow, but he got onto his knees. He kneeled. He got down at her eye level.
Yep.
And she felt like she'd lost everything. And he infused his energy and his power and his hope into her. And it did give her hope. And she's a normal person now.
Yeah.
It's not that long ago. And she lost her entire family and her leg.
They believed, and I mean, I don't know that maybe this person believed it, but to people who had believed in the emperor and what they stood for and who they were, they believe that the emperor is the direct descendant of the sun goddess Amaterasu. And the direct descendant of the sun goddess Amaterasu went into an evacuation center and got on his knees and bowed down to regular people.
Yeah, so, if you believe that if God designated this bloodline and it wasn't just Paris Hilton's dad, great, 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 great grandfather, Conrad Hilton, fucking back in the day, going, I'm going to make a place for homeless people to live, then you must really be impressed. You think that's Jesus incarnate at your fucking feet.
Yeah.
And regardless, if I was in a homeless shelter with single leg and a Paris Hilton rolled in, I'd be like, girl.
Imagine even if Obama
rolled
in.
Hope.
Yeah.
Oh, if Obama.
And he got down.
I would die.
Yeah.
Absolutely fucking die.
And not just walked in and waved at you, got in, sat down, had tea with you, talked with you. And apparently the way they talk about it, it's just like he walked in and he just talked to people.
No one had ever done it, you guys.
No one had ever done it.
And that guy is 80 what, man?
85. So he's got health. He had some health problems. He decided, and apparently what he told the people, that was the other thing, too, is that he got on TV during after that tsunami and said, I'm with you. Don't worry. This is awful for Japan, but we're watching you. And no emperor had ever made a public statement like that before either. So
giving you a Ronald Reagan in the 80s.
Yep.
So he's had prostate cancer. I know that because that stuck out in my head. I was like, oh, Japanese people get that, too.
Uh-huh.
And something other was it cardiac problems? So he had another problem besides prostate. But he's 85. That really isn't that old. And listen, Nancy Pelosi is giving you a tight arm and a sleeveless and a youth. So anyone that wants to fucking come and act like there is no, I don't care how much sushi you eat, how much fucking what, it's all, we're all just doing it. There's not going to be across the board. Right. I took a water out of the mini fridge here and I chewed it up and it was gel. And I don't know if it was pee that was turned into water. So we don't know what we're all eating and drinking. They had that whole thing here, Fukushima or whatever, with the fucking... Remember?
Yes, like that was part of it too.
And that's probably fucking what I'm drinking in the thing.
No, but that was in the 80s.
I got so pissed at Julie. I was like, you need to have some now. And she's like, it tastes like normal ice. I was like, oh, I ate the ice. I ate the gel ice. I ate the gel water. I'm going to die now. No, Fukushima's recently. Not that. Not
it was 2011. That's what it said. Oh, 2011. Because that was part of the tsunami. That's why it happened. Because there was the whole nuclear meltdown. And that's why people were melting and dying.
And I just drank the fucking Aaron Brockovich goddamn water. Well, he had that, and do you think is he Barbara Walters-ing out?
I think, you know, it's hard to say. He might be feeling, maybe for his own self, he's like, I can't keep things. I don't remember things.
Right,
I don't know.
His memory.
I gotta go.
Yeah.
And
he's like,
I wanna play
dominoes on the computer or whatever the fuck.
He has like a nice relationship with his wife, and the wife also, I guess, came from a common background, and she has her own interesting history where she... like needed to like get away for a while, and she like
Julie's like she had a nervous breakdown because she couldn't handle them.
Yeah,
and she is gorgeous.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Okay, who's Princess Kako and Princess Mako Keiko?
Mako and Keiko are the daughters of the new emperor.
Okay, so they're his granddaughters, Akihito,
yes.
Akihito, whatever.
Right. So now
Keiko can get it. She can get it. You guys, she is so fucking cute. She is giving you Kate Middleton. Not Pippa. She's giving you Kate Middleton.
Right.
Realness, hunties. She is the cutest. Keiko's younger than Mako, right? I'm like, when is Keiko going to be empress? Because that's where it's fucking at.
Yeah, I don't know how old they are. I have to look.
Well,
at
she's the young. She's younger than her. The Mako.
Okay. Well, so now we've got the new emperor coming in, who's Akihito's son. He's almost 60. And
God damn, he looks 40.
Yeah, these people, they look
Jesus.
So young. So now here's the thing with this guy, which is they're fucking adorable. He lived with them till he was 30, okay? With his parents, which is a departure apparently from imperial tradition. But he, like, I guess...
Tradition period.
Well, exactly. He went to Oxford. He's really educated. All this stuff. He apparently into family. He's like, he and his wife like have an actual real relationship, and they have these two daughters. They have like a dog.
Well,
where's that boy?
I thought there's a boy.
There's no boy.
Keiko and Mako, and I thought there's a boy.
There's no boy.
No, there's no boy.
There's
no other
boy.
Son besides him?
There is no son.
There's only him.
He's the only son. Well, he's the son of the emperor, so he becomes the emperor.
Yeah, but who's the other sons?
I don't know.
They had two kids.
I don't know.
There's a boy from another
kid. So, but he's the first heir. He's the heir.
He's the one with Keiko and Mako.
So he's, yes, the right. son now is a...
There's another dorky son from...
Oh, nobody cares about
him. Exactly, but he'll probably get to be emperor, and Keiko's going to be pissed off, and I'll be pissed off for her.
Yeah, because the daughters, and we can't get into it now, but the women are screwed. But here's the thing. So the new emperor, super educated, also very smart, also apparently like spent a couple years or several years or whatever. One of his passions is water. And climate. And so that they're theorizing that what he...
Well, I just drank gel water. I want him to know that.
Well, what they think with him, what he could potentially do for Japan. First of all, every emperor has an era. They name their era. Then the name of his...
It's like Howard Stern.
His era is called Beautiful Harmony. He's coming at you.
What's the past one called?
I think it was something with achieving. Achieving peace, I think.
Oh, achieving.
So he's the lineage of the Akihito is cool because that guy was a pacifist. He doesn't want to do a war. The prime minister is more of a warmonger and wants like the military.
Well, his dad
to
was
be,
a warmonger.
The dad was, which is why he's probably a pacifist. So the prime minister wants like a military. They want to be like in the game. But what Japan has now is called the defense. It's like a defense police squad or whatever. They don't want to be
you know, they're having to, it's like Germany, they're having to live down, you know what I mean? Having to live down, like trying to be like Hitler, basically. So he's like, let's just, we'll defend ourselves. That's it. We're cool. We don't want to, we got to just, okay.
Crouching so, tiger, hidden dragon. That's Chinese. Never mind.
So the new emperor now is going to have to deal with the prime minister, and we're going to see like, oh, is he going to want to be like a militaristic kind of guy? Is he, or is he going to be more of a pacifist? Will he find a balance? He is interested in climate, which is great, which means that he might be more focused on, since they live beautiful harmony, is he going to be on the harmony of life, the harmony of like the environment? Is he going to go down that road? And people are hoping.
What is Keiko up to? I don't care about this other stuff. Is Keiko have a boyfriend?
I don't know.
She is the new fucking, what's the royal, what's Harry's, Meghan Murray? Like, fuck all that noise.
Yes.
It's Keiko and it's not even Mako. It's Keiko.
Yeah, it's Keiko. But
it's
here's
Keikito.
The deal with Keiko.
We're going to get
but
a dog. We're naming it Keikito and Makito.
The thing. Here's the exciting possibility. He's like soups into his daughters. And he's like a soups, like, contempt kind of guy.
Okay.
So
the dad, by the way, is 1,000 times hotter than this guy, but that's fine. And even Julie agreed. I was like,
yes,
this guy's no kind of pimp like the dad. Julie's like,
no.
True.
Akihito. However, and the wife. And the wife is the best looking of all of them.
Motherfucker
so,
strides out in full white gowns.
She's
and
so
goes on her
beautiful.
Nervous breakdown retreat.
Yeah.
Which is, love
so,
it.
The emperor is the only one. Now, this has never happened in the thousands of years history of Japan. The emperor is the only one who could potentially, with the emperor or even with the prime minister, I mean, they'd have to change the law, who could make it so a woman could
yes.
ascend to the throne.
I thought it's already
so
there.
It's not there.
Oh.
So, but this guy could make that happen.
Keiko,
so,
it's
Keiko
time.
Could be the first empress
but
of Japan.
But what will happen when Mako, it's going to be hard for Keiko when Mako.
It has to be the firstborn, no matter what.
Well, it's Mako because Keiko's second.
Oh, then it would be Mako.
Well, Mako.
Because you can't, you know what I mean? Even for the boys, that's how it would be.
Well, we don't
anyway,
know what's going to happen with Mako. She seems. Well, you guys look, judge for yourselves. I just want you to Google a pic. We don't need to get into it. Just Google pics. Google Julie's boyfriend, Akihito, the guy who got on his knees, full head of gray hair, giving you a Leon Goldman, an Asian Leon Goldman style. Right, Meow Meow?
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
That's why made you start crying.
Yeah, probably.
Does it remind you of your dad?
Mm-hmm.
Look at them all. I'll take Mako, but I know Keikito is the biz. I know. We all know.
Well, let's just, I think that it's, there's a reason the universe put us here. Who knows what it is? Hope, you know what I mean? We're here. We're in the middle of witnessing a break in tradition, however you slice it, in a culture that is steeped in tradition.
You guys, they went out into the streets. They've been in the streets all day doing this like it's New Year's. It's
yes.
like 10, 9.
Yep.
They are
it's
counting
the
down
TV.
To their golden era. And Julie and I are in a hotel room. I'm snorting dust off of a coffee table just trying to get high. You know what I mean? So it's the golden era. It's definitely so fucking bizarre that we're in this
bizarre
city, country, state, town, area, neighborhood, news cycle, golden era. It's their moment. It would be if we were there. It's like being there when Meghan Merkel or a royal wedding. Where were we? We were somewhere in the royal wedding. Maybe it just was even in New York, but it was be like being in England. And it's like, that it's that
it would
big
be like being in England when the if Queen Elizabeth if there
yeah.
was a new king
yes.
you know what I mean, and not just that, but that if you got a new king and in that moment and everyone's freaking out and in their new t-shirts that say it's beautiful harmony coming up, we're
yeah.
in the, we're going to be, you know why
golden because era.
In the next era anything could happen. In the next era maybe there'll be a woman emperor. In the next era maybe we're going to learn about, maybe we're going to fix climate change. In the next era we're going to start making changes because we're moving into the future. So,
well, they should call a woman an emperor. They shouldn't even say empress. They should call her emperor.
I hope they do.
That's cool.
I hope they do. So,
well, thank you for taking us to Skew. Meow, meow. That was a wonderful Skew session. Now it's time for So There's That. All right, so this is the part of the show where I give Julie the job of finding something good that's happening somewhere out there on the political landscape. She hates doing it, and she shouldn't even have to, quite frankly, this week, because she just spent 30 fucking minutes killing time taking us to Japanese Ambersky. But we're stranded in Tokyo, and I need this to be over so I can go outside. So hopefully this bitch found something to talk about. So, Meow Meow, what is your So There's That Moment for this week?
Well, let's see if we can find our way there. You know what I mean?
Together.
Let's see if we can't find our way. This has been a tough couple days. I want to talk about Air China. So, Air China, if you're listening, get a pen out, dab it on your tongue, and then kill yourself with it. So,
just shove it in your throat. Shove it in your jugular.
And kill yourself. One of the reasons that we are stuck here, yes, is because it is the golden week and we can't get a flight out unless it's beyond expensive or whatever. But we also are stuck on one particular airline. One particular airline who, in the history of airlines, apparently won't help you when you miss your flight. When we got to
won't help you when you want to change your seats. They won't help you if you want to upgrade. They won't help you if you want to simply know what time your flight takes off. If you simply want to log on, find out the exact time your flight takes off, that information isn't available to you. Nope. And your computer gets hacked and everything on your computer gets stolen from simply trying to find out.
That is correct. You must call. They do not speak English. You cannot make any changes online. You can't do anything online. In fact, when we went to the ticket counter, they put a sign in our face that said position closed and said they straight up were like, we can't help you. We won't help you. We can't help you. Here's a number. Call it. We were like, how? I don't know. Go use the public phone. Oh, okay. We are in another country trying to get back to our country and you won't even help us with the flight.
And we're also in a different country than China. So right. We want to go to America. We're in Japan and now we have to call China. If calling China were easy, America wouldn't be in a big fight with China, entire world. It would be like saying like this, go call Russia and let them facilitate. It's like Russia won't let you fucking make a move. This is a communist country that is scared of all of their information being hacked. They're hacking information. They don't like Americans. It was crazy when we traveled there. We had to have 15 copies of our passport. Our rooms were searched head to toe every time we went in. And now we're in Japan trying to deal with a Chinese company.
Right.
It's just on just the surface. Our cell phones, you guys, our American cell phones will not call China.
No.
And that is not, that's a fact. Our American cell phone will not call China. They can call us. We can't call them. We have to stand at a payphone and spend $200 in coins in order to make a call to a Chinese business.
Yes. So then it took 2 days to make the flight change, where I had to send an authorization form, a picture of credit card, picture of the passport, find a way between the airport and the bus shuttle to the now the hotel that we're stuck at. In order to do that, I'm on my laptop. I'm using my phone hotspot. Thank God I have that. My God, AT&T is saving our lives. And even though now I'm spending all of my money, I've already spent all my money. Now I'm going to be in debt forever. And they still, I put an extra J in my name. It wasn't right. I had to go back and do it. I mean, there was no, you can't make one mistake. If you make one mistake, you are fucked. There is no room for error at all. So it has been harrowing, horrible. They are the worst. I fucking hate their guts, and I can't wait to get home and send them nothing but hate mail.
Julie
every single day,
before
all
we
day
left
long.
LA. She was mad at them before we even left America because we're so spoiled in the way that if you've paid a lot of money for anything, it doesn't matter. It could be your toilet. It could be a flight. It could be a piece of paper, a contract. If you've paid someone for a service or a good, there in America, there's kind of like a checks and balances for that. I just paid you $2,000 for this.
Right.
Of course you're going to treat me with respect. We could never even get them on the internet. Like normally in America, the problem is we can't do the phone. Just email us.
Or just go online. Do it online.
Yeah, do it online.
Nope.
This was the opposite. We aren't going to offer you any services online.
No.
You can only do it over the phone. But it costs $1 million to call us over the phone.
Yep.
And it's the opposite hours. We couldn't even change our seats.
Nope. Can't change your seats. So
And no. I got on some list because I took nail polish in my carry-on.
Going through it was a nightmare. Just the flight itself. But now trying to get home is absolutely unlike anything I've ever experienced in my life. This airline shouldn't be an airline. And
well,
just,
they shouldn't offer services to anyone outside of China.
No, it should be in China, only for China. Do it in China. Just do make it so it's just however you're going to do it there. But you should not be an international company. It should be illegal. Honestly, this place needs to be shut down. So now we're here. We're here for 9 days because of Air China. Okay. And after the panic attacks and the crying and the just the surrendering and the surrendering and the surrendering, you get to a point after the surrender and you go, I'm in Tokyo.
I mean, my journey was quickly with that. I was at the airport while you were crying and I was like, but my meerkat baby. But Julie gets scared. She's American through and through. She's Jewish. She gets scared. She gets a little...
I'm neurotic. I'm worried about my passport.
You're American through and through. You get nervous if this shit's real international. It is gamey for days. You better be ready to try that fucking uni. It smells funky. You're not used to it. You don't know where you're headed. You're on a bus in the middle of the night out into the middle of nowhere.
Oh, I get into a thing in my mind of like, they're just not going to let me back in. I don't know what I'm going to do. They're not going to let me back in. I have no money. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to get home. I just need to get
home.
And
money doesn't work here, too. Your money's not good here.
Money doesn't work
here.
I don't have any money.
Buy people off left and right.
But so now I've been surrendering. But Brandy's here. I'm like, you know what? I'm in Tokyo. I'm with Brandy. We're together. We're living an adventure. The universe is telling me something, girl. And the universe said, you are with your friend for a reason. You are in Japan. Get into it. These things don't happen just for nothing. So now we're here. We're going to fucking eat everything we want. We're going to drink everything we want. We're going to take in the sights. We're going to fucking, if we have to walk from here for 5 miles to a gorgeous temple, we will, because we don't have any money.
It's the golden era.
And it is the golden era. And that is basically what it made me think is, you know what? We're here for the transition of an emperor from one era into another. And perhaps for anyone who's listening and anyone who's going through anything challenging or hard or unexpected or unpredictable or not the way you thought it would go, you've lost it all. I don't have any money. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And maybe I won't get home, or will I get home? And who knows? But just know that there will be a transition. This is how I feel now. I'm like, I'm in the golden era. I'm in the golden week. We're going to transition through and we're going to get to the other side, and whatever's on the other side is okay. So there's that. So that's it for this episode of Dumb Gay Politics.
Thank you guys for listening. And thank you to all of you who've already pledged on our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/dumbgaypolitics. I know we bug on every fucking week and we will never stop until all of our 14 listeners sign the fuck on up.
That is correct. And this week, as we mentioned earlier, the Patreon podcast is all about the various animals that we've made love to in and around the Japanese animal cafes. The podcast is only $1 for an extra hour, and we really need for every single one of you guys and every single person you know to sign up, because now we need to get home.
We have no money.
We have no
we
money.
Need every single person you've ever met, every single person you're related to, every single person you've ever thought about, every single person who's ever existed, to every single person who listens to this, to sign up for our Patreon. And as always, it's been real and it's been fun.
But mostly it's been gay and it has been dumb.
And Japanese.
How'd you do? I see you've met my faithful hand in hand. He's just a little brought down, because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung up by the way I look.
Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Let me show you a rhyme and maybe play you a sign. You look like you're both pretty groovy. Or if you want something visual that's not too abysmal, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just say where we are, then go back to the car. We don't want to be any worry.
Well, you got caught with a flat wheel. How about that? Well, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Why don't you stay for the night?
Night.
Or maybe a bite.
Night.
I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Hey, I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. So, come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. But maybe the rain is really to blame. So I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.